Welcome to Caldwell University Conversations. I'm Colette Liddy. A commencement ceremony in September? Why, of course, especially if you have been living through a pandemic. And when it finally arrives, it is appreciated more than ever. My guests know this. Marissa Giuliano and Lamar Shea Chang were selected to be the commencement speakers at Caldwell University's 2020 graduation ceremonies, which took place on September 20th. They are here today to talk about their journeys as students at Caldwell, the foundation they received at the university, and where they are headed next. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Much appreciated.
So for our listeners, Caldwell held graduation on a beautiful, sunny, fall-like day in September. You were both ready to deliver your addresses in May. That didn't happen. You pivoted, you changed your scripts, and it finally happened in September. Can you give us a little snippet of what you told the fellow graduates? Marissa, we'll start with you. You gave the address to master's and doctoral students, and you received your master's that day, too.
Sure. So I talked about it in my speech, but when I was selected to be the commencement speaker, I actually prepared an entirely different speech. But during the selection process with the committee, I actually said to them that in order for me to write the actual speech that I would give in September, I needed to live through the experience. So what they were hearing from me wasn't the final speech, because there was actually a point where I really didn't believe that we were going to get to have this graduation. I wanted it so badly, but I was just so fearful that we wouldn't get that. So even writing the speech, I was just feeling that fear that this moment would never happen. But I was just waiting so long to tell this story of a graduating class who actually made it through a global pandemic to be in person. As pretty sure, I'm almost positive it was one of the few, if only, commencements in New Jersey that actually happened in person. And during my speech, I just kind of talked about the resiliency of the students, the dedication of the staff and faculty to the students and our safety, and how Caldwell, I always said this during campus tours as an undergrad, was that you could define yourself by your name at Caldwell and not your ID number, which at bigger institutions, that's not always the case, but Caldwell really did that. It allowed you to grow as an individual and really make your mark if you allowed yourself to. So what were you going to say?
You certainly had the breadth of that experience because you were an undergraduate student. You received your undergraduate degree in art and psychology and then went on for your master's. So you talked about a large part of your development as a young adult was at Caldwell.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be who I am today without Caldwell. There's no doubt in my mind.
And you were one of those students that really took advantage of so many of the opportunities that were presented to you. And the same for you, Lamar. You spoke at two undergraduate ceremonies. So the university had two ceremonies to ensure for social distancing. And I remember you talked about the perfect gift or gifts that Caldwell gave the students, the graduates. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Okay, definitely I could talk a lot about it, but for the podcast, I'll be really brief with the matter. So my take on the when applying for the commencement speaker position, I really wanted to take the aspect of how Bob Marley does his music. How he does his music is along the lines of it transcends generations. So this his music can be applied in the past, and it will for sure be applied in the future. So I took that perspective when writing this speech, and it wasn't up until 2 weeks before the commencement that I added things related to the pandemic. Nothing from March, from April, coming all the way up, I made no mention of the current pandemic, which was I think, even though it was hard to do, I definitely pulled it off.
Oh, so you definitely pulled it off. You both definitely pulled it off. You talked about the Catholic Dominican Foundation. What does that mean to you?
To me, the Catholic Dominican tradition, it's more of a profound lifestyle that I think everyone should be implementing. while speaking to several of the sisters through different meetings or just through hello conversation that lasted 5 minutes, you could get that every word was out of love and every action was done with loving consideration. And understanding the philosophy, that's exactly what it means, to just act and be involved in love in such a way that it's reflected in the minds of others. So someone would see you and they know that you're different simply because all actions are taken from the premises of love.
You both were so involved in so many different activities. And I think of a lot of those activities coming from the Catholic Dominican Foundation, the service opportunities. Lamar, you ran fundraisers to benefit Bahamas Strong last year, right?
And, yes.
And Marissa, you went to Belize when you were an undergraduate, and your work now is in art therapy. Do you think that Caldwell, because it's smaller, provides those type of opportunities for students? What do you think, Marissa?
Specifically, I think if you take advantage of the opportunities at Caldwell, absolutely. Because some people, they just go in and out to classes, they leave. They choose that though. But if you open yourself to the opportunity of the mission that Caldwell allows you to have, I know I talked about it in my speech that there's this selfless service of just after learning about the Dominican tradition and faith and like pursuit of truth, it's just absolutely, I would just say absolutely. I feel that my role on Caldwell's campus started when I was 17 and I had my first campus tour. I knew that the place would allow me to make a difference, not just for the institution, but for myself. And I knew that it was a safe environment for me to grow professionally and personally, because I feel that those college years are so important, you know, coming from a clinical counseling background, those are very important years of development. And I needed Caldwell for that. So absolutely, I was given a million opportunities. I was an admissions ambassador during undergrad and grad school and orientation leader. So my life was invested into the university and I would not have wanted it any other way.
And you gave back to the university too. And so did you, Lamar. So you were a science major. You received your bachelor's in computer information systems and biology with a minor in chemistry. You also were an RA. You've done some very interesting work experiences working for the Borough of Caldwell, a mentorship with Novartis. But you also have a real interest in helping your peers in the dorms, and I know this, in helping them believe in their potential. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Definitely, I can. So that conversation came from the foundation of, there's this quote, I don't remember who's the author of it, but it goes along these lines. We've all had what the greatest have had. So understanding that I was not short of anything that Abraham Lincoln or any superpower mind that existed before me had, that made me understand that I just needed to be able to live with the weight of my decision making. So with that being said, it's really simple for you to be able to be all that you possibly can be. And with this understanding, I go about my community in such fashion. So I would go about and see students and ask them to investigate their own personal lives, mm-hmm. for them to be able to find out how much they can improve in certain areas, and also to fine tune their interests to see how best they can make the impact on the world, how they see it. So it's more along the lines of the lifestyle I have, I portray it, and that's the best way to communicate any action in the mind of someone else.
And helping them find their passions is what I'm hearing.
Definitely, finding your passion. That way, every single day, you'd have a fuel that could take you through any event, any challenge, any blunder, any mistake that you've made.
Keeping your eyes on where you're headed. Now, Marissa, you received the art therapy master's. The formal name is a Master of Art in Clinical Mental Health Counseling with Art Therapy, with an art therapy specialization degree. Mm-hmm. You worked through the pandemic at a senior facility doing some very innovative work in helping seniors get through the isolation. Can you tell us about that and what you're doing at this point in your life? You now have your bachelor's and your master's with your degree.
So I absolutely can talk about that, because that experience during the height of the pandemic was very unique to its own. Back around in February, a colleague of mine, who's now a colleague, but was a professor of mine at Caldwell in the art therapy program, she reached out to me and asked if I wanted to work at an assisted living. It's called Sycamore Living in East Hanover. And I was just like, yeah, you know, I could take on this. I love the population. I love geriatrics, working with the elderly. Why not? And out of nowhere, it was beginning of March. And she was just like, well, how quickly can you work? This pandemic might happen. This is very serious. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll fill out everything right now. So out of nowhere, we were in lockdown. And I was defined as an essential worker. I was given this title as a frontline worker, because an assisted living, because it's also a subacute and long-term care facility, it turned into a COVID facility. We were filling up our rooms with COVID patients. I did not expect that going in. Not that I wouldn't, but I didn't expect it. And so it went from, like, I had the sticker on my vehicle saying I was allowed to actually travel to my job because I was a frontline worker. And so the work that we did, because we had no idea, the facility just opened. It was setting up these art therapy kits that we could send up to the rooms at first, because we were waiting for PPE to get in. It was such a unreal and scary experience for all of these residents. They were just coming in, not understanding the virus itself. And so we were sending art therapy kits. We were getting the Amazon Alexas into their room so they could virtually communicate with their families, because the facility's on lockdown. They can't see their families. And then for our residents that were not COVID patients, they still couldn't see their families. They were just expecting to live in an assisted living and not have to go through this. But so with them, even with COVID patients, we were doing one-on-one visits, just talk therapy, art therapy, anything that they needed, because a world that they saw was taken away from them. And I felt kind of compelled to constantly work there. I wanted to go through this with them. And I even said that at one point. I felt like I was there so much and I wasn't doing anything else, that I actually felt like I went through the pandemic with the residents. And because I heard all of their experiences, I heard so many stories of, like, fear and anger. And I think the biggest one was loss. I specifically remember one time I was talking to a resident's family member, a COVID resident in our facility, and they were like, well, I just watched the rest of my family pass away due to COVID. And I just really hope that I don't lose my parent as well. And to have to hear that in such unprecedented times, there were never words for it. It was just kind of something that I knew I had to keep going because of it. But the work has been amazing. Our facility at this point, we're bare minimum with our COVID patients. We did not lose a single one. And that was something that I was grateful to say, that our work was done so efficiently for these residents to be able to get to the other side.
And what an experience. It's something that you will be telling future generations as you get older about this moment in history. And you provided hope for all of those people. Lamar, your future plans. I know you're in the MBA program at Caldwell now.
Yes, I'm currently doing the MBA program concentration, global business. And I would like to thank the perfect gift that Caldwell gave to me that inspired this action. So the perfect gift, coupled with the nurturing professors and the minds that they had, influenced me to really think big and also think forward. So with that being said, The future plans include me taking advantage of the amazing stock exchange in Jamaica. Also going on to medical school, because the reality for me would have been an MD, MBA program. So now I'm basically saving some time moving forward, going into medical school. And also the future plans really include me finding out more about myself and find out how I could continue to inspire the community around me and continue to have that impact and hope to inspire an impact that I could have globally around the world. That's really my future ambition, to be able to say that one day that my efforts really paid off when communities around the world are inhabiting healthy lifestyles that I promoted initially. So that's really what my future plans entail.
Wonderful. I heard two words there, big and forward. Do you think a place like Caldwell University gives students that confidence to go big and forward that they might not get if they were part of a huge university?
Definitely. Without Caldwell, I don't think the persons would be able to associate a taste in their mouth along to such matter, because with Caldwell, the intimate atmosphere present on campus, as well as the small classroom sizes, and basically everyone knowing each other's names, that really provides a support, or it provides a comfort that allows everyone on campus to grow their wings if they would take advantage of the so many resources that are available on campus.
So many resources. Marissa, I do want to go back to one other area that you're working in right now. I know you're working with a population of vision loss and how they were affected during the pandemic. Can you speak to that a little bit?
I can absolutely speak to that. So I started my experience working with the blind and visually impaired about 2 years ago. I was an intern at a nonprofit organization in Denville called the Vision Loss Alliance in New Jersey. I was a counseling and art therapy intern. It went from internship to job offer about a year ago. So I'm actively still there. Even during the pandemic, when we moved to a virtual platform. So a lot of things that people didn't think about when it came to the terms of a global pandemic causing isolation. And now I see that working with a population such as the blind and visually impaired, is that their lives are already been touched by isolation. They are already living in a world of isolation. So now we've added this extra layer of isolation, because as we enter back into the world, people that are blind and visually impaired cannot enter back out into the world the same that we do. So we must take that, you know, we must be so grateful for that, because when I hear their stories of, yeah, I'm able for myself to go out and just drive somewhere, but they can't do that. They can't leave their houses because the world doesn't understand what it's like to have to socially distance for people that are visually impaired. But since the pandemic started, we took a bunch of people who didn't fully understand the virtual platforms of Zoom, educated them on Zoom, and got them to do that. So we turned a whole health and wellness program that happens in person to a virtual platform. And that happened immediately, like I want to say the second week of the pandemic, because we were like, they need us. We need to be there. And so that's what we did. I ran peer support groups for them. And it was just supporting them through isolation, supporting them through fear, and many lost family members due to COVID complications. And these are people that are also immunocompromised. So it was a very unique experience, which also led me to ending up working for the New Jersey Department of Human Services now as well, for the Commission for the Blind, which is another organization that works with the blind and visually impaired. And I do art therapy groups virtually for them at one of their programs, which is the Joseph Cohen Training Center, which is in New Brunswick. They normally operate in person, but due to the fact that people with vision loss are pushed back, as the governor opens the world, they're a few steps behind. So we're running virtually art therapy groups, and I get to hear their stories of what it was like to live through a pandemic that forced you to be locked in more than you're already locked in. It's been very unique and humbling as well.
It reminds me of a student in my class in the spring who said, we need to remember that a lot of the elderly and people in these populations, they were already isolated, right? And this only made it even more isolating. So what you are doing is really opening up the doors to them. I'm also hearing a lot of innovation. It's a time of great innovation. As tough as it is for everyone, it is a time of innovation. Would you agree, Lamar, being that you're interested in science?
Definitely. I think the floor right now is filled with incentives to innovate, because I am constantly having, this is a new thing where I'm constantly having meetings virtually. I'm paying more attention than ever to my Google calendar and emails. So definitely now is the time to take advantage of how we could best make the world more comfortable, given that we're so isolated in this virtual atmosphere. So definitely so much room for innovation. And coming to Caldwell should inspire so many to take advantage of that innovation.
Final question for both of you. What have you learned through this pandemic? Life lessons that you have learned? Marissa, you're first.
So first off, let me just say, I have now learned that I wish I could always be doing Zoom or Google Hangout classes, because being in my pajamas during class, big win. Don't have to dress up anymore. So that was it.
You like being with people, right?
Yeah. Listen, I was loving the pajama thing. If I had to find one positive during it all, pajamas, no doubt. But on the real, I think that for me, it was to truly live in the moment, to be present and to live day by day. That was something that I did not take for granted. I was a master's student working, I think, two jobs at the time, two internships, never taking a moment for myself. And that was the person that I needed to spend the most time with. So during the pandemic, that's what I did. I learned about myself. I learned about my needs. And as well, I also just learned to really just be grateful, because I was alive, and I think in a weird way, because the pandemic, with every bad thing that happened, I felt like there were aspects of it that I needed, because it made me really look back and reflect on my experiences at Caldwell, to think about the fact that I didn't get the last experiences. I needed to find a new way of closure, and that was during these months of being in a lockdown, in quarantine. But it really just made me also be thankful for what I have, and to just be more open-minded and understanding of people. And despite everything that we have differences in, especially in the political climate that we're in, it made me realize, no matter who you vote for, no matter race, religion, ethnicity, like, we are all one thing, and that's just humans. And we needed to be together during this, because we needed to come through this together and see the other side. So that's really what I took from it.
Beautiful. You didn't get the experiences you expected, but you got others that were very enriching. How about you, Lamar?
For me, I learned so much about how resilient I could be, because we all know that the beginning of this pandemic up to now was no easy task on any mental health. So definitely I learned how resilient I could be, but I also was reminded of several conversations with my parents. And these included, count the days, and also never to lose sight of who you actually are. Mm-hmm. So who you were before the pandemic should be who you are during the pandemic, and that's who you're going to be after the pandemic. So understanding this notion of really the pandemic only should shift how you behave, but shouldn't stop how you behave. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, I had several goals, because that was the point of everything started when I was about to graduate. So I still had to have the goals in the front of my mind, actually, and then just figure out a way of how am I going to achieve these goals given the change in time. So definitely how agile I was, that increased during the pandemic, because of course, things weren't the same anymore. And I definitely had to adjust to ensure that these goals still were hit. And I was still able to count my days, because I saw it with several of my friends. And I had to be that little voice in their ear to say, yes, even though the time is crazy, there's some stuff that you can control. And the stuff that you can control, control it really well. So definitely that's what really brought me through the entire experience to this point, that the stuff that I could control, I controlled it really well. And when I always tried my best to stay true to myself and not let everything around me get to the inside. So that's really what I learned throughout the entire pandemic. And also to be really versed with this new virtual atmosphere, because everything is on Google Meets now or on Zoom. So definitely that was a learning curve that I had to jump over. But yes, those are the lessons. Staying true to myself, checking on family, that was always a must. And the thing I could control it really well.
Right. And it's interesting. I'm sure your parents were very happy to hear that everything they kept repeating over and over again, that you heard it in your ear. And I call it the one-liners, passing forward the one-liners that I remember from my parents, from the simplest things of saying thank you, right, and please, and smiling, and keep fighting the good fight. Well, I want to thank you. You've both been wonderful guests. Congratulations on your speeches. Wishing you all the best this year going forward. Our guests have been Marissa Giuliano and Lamar Shea Chang. Thanks to Paul Iwarat for editing. I'm Colette Liddy. Please join us next time for Caldwell University Conversations.